Amen. Amen. We are enjoying going through the book of Acts, but it's time for a break, right? Lord have mercy, it's time for a break. But we're going to do a different series right now, step away for a little bit, then we will come back and we will finish Acts this year, dang it. We will finish this year. But for now, we're going to take a break and do a series called Respectable Sins. Now, this is a series that was really the brainchild of Austin McCann. Great, great idea. Of course, it deals with sin because he's a good Baptist boy from the South. So we're gonna yell at you about sin for a few weeks. But there it is. It's a great... Now, if you're familiar, there is a book by Jerry Bridges called Respectable Sins. Austin read that book. And so this is loosely based upon that book. By loosely, I mean I have not read the book. And I put together this series. Actually, I read a few chapters just this week. But anyway, so very, very loosely. But nonetheless, there it is. All right, so let's talk about it. What are respectable sins? Respectable sins are junior varsity sins. They're players, but they don't really make it on the varsity squad. See, varsity sins are things like rape and murder and adultery and theft. We dial 911 for those, right? You can lose your job for those. If you've committed those, you don't admit to that in polite company. Those are the big sins. By contrast, junior varsity sins, well, sure, okay, they're wrong in God's eyes, but are they really that big of a deal? I mean, are they? So our culture becomes more okay with these, what we would say, respectable sins. We tolerate them. We don't dial 911. We wink at them. We rationalize them. We sweep them under the rug. They're respectable sins. These are the sins that you would admit to at a community group when it's time to pray. You would say, hey, pray for me about this one. It's a respectable sin. They're safe. Now, you can think of varsity sins as like getting hit by a train. All right, when you get hit by a train, I mean, it's obvious. It's public. Everyone knows it. And there's blood and carnage. It's debilitating. It ruins. Like, it's clear. But not so much with JV sins. JV sins are more like, these respectable sins are more like getting a fever or a disease, right? When you get a disease, like it might be gnawing away at you on the inside, but you look fine on the outside. You can live life. Nobody might know about it. But you do have a low-grade fever, and it's dragging you down, holding you back. Now, the irony here is, catch which one is contagious. See, like getting hit by a train isn't contagious, right? You get that, right? So like if you commit murder, I don't hear about that and go, well, gee, I've never committed murder. You know what I think I'll do today? I think I'm going to do homicide. It doesn't work like that, right? But what about respectable sins? What about when you gossip? It tends to spread. They're respectable, but they're more contagious. That's because they're respectable sins in our minds. We wink at them. We permit them in each other. And so respectable sins are sneaky sins. They're sneaky sins because Satan himself is sneaky. Satan rarely mounts a frontal attack. He doesn't come to you looking like a demon, red and horns and pitchfork and tail, and then come to the front door and try to kick it down. He doesn't do that. Instead, what Satan does is he looks respectable. He dresses up in a nice suit. And he comes to the front door and he knocks. And we look through the people and we go, oh, that doesn't look too bad. That looks kind of respectable, actually. Open the door. Come on into my life. That's a respectable sin. And that's how we got this graphic for our series. You say, okay, so they're sneaky, and that's how they sneak into their lives, but who cares, right? Are they really that harmful? Is that a big deal? Well, respectable sins is tongue-in-cheek. I mean, you get that, right? They are respectable in our eyes, not in God's. They are not cute. They are not tame. They are not okay. They are very harmful and damaging. They are serious. Otherwise, why in the world would we burn an entire sermon series talking about them? It'd just be wasting time. These are serious. Because any sin, all sin, is rebellion. It is cosmic treason against the King of Kings. We are traitors. Keep in mind that the fall of man, remember back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve? How did that all happen? Was it rape? No. Was it murder? No. It was a bite from a piece of fruit. Just simple disobedience. But it was cosmic treason. See, every sin carries within it the seed of rebellion, the seed of destruction. Every sin is ultimately against the very nature of God. And that's why he hates it so much. As well, every sin is harmful to us. It condemns us and alienates us from God. And as well, it destroys us in our relationships with others. God hates sin. And respectable sins, then, they are sneaky. But notice, Satan might dress up in a suit, but don't be mistaken, he's not your friend. He's not looking to bless you as he sneaks into your life. So we can qualify them as respectable, but the second word holds. They are sins. They're sins. And sin destroys. Sin tears at the fabric of the universe. It tears at the fabric of our lives. It destroys. And so God loves us enough, as a good father, he loves us enough to warn us away from those that we would call respectable sins. That's what we're going to do in this series, is we're going to line them up 1 week at a time. Line them up, knock them down. That's hopefully going to be a good series. And so this week, the very first one is one that I've mentioned already. We're going to talk about gossip. And as we talk about gossip, look at these four things that I want to look at. What is it? Why we love it? Why God hates it? And what we can do. That's what we're going to talk about. First, I want to talk about what is it? What is gossip? I want to give you a very clear definition. Here's one I wrote. Gossip. Noun. Gossip. That's how you pronounce it right there. Good. I stole that part off the internet. The rest is mine. All right. It's the act of saying negative things, whether true or not, about someone who is not there, and saying them to someone who isn't directly part of the process of reconciliation. Oh, and also, you see it tacked in there, or listening to these things. I think it's important that we have a very clear definition of this, and so I want to go back through that and break down a few parts. Notice it says that it might be true or it might not. Sometimes gossip is true. You're like, but it's true. But it's true. Yeah, I get it. He might have had an affair. Maybe it's true. Maybe you did hear him cussing at his kids. Maybe it's true. Maybe he's a loud talker, a close talker, an over talker. I don't know. It might be true. It's not about true or not. That's not the point. See, look, if it's not true, then what that is, that's lying. That's another week. We'll get to that, okay? It's coming. But this, look, whether it's true or not, it's negative. That's the point. It's meant to tear down. One of the biblical words that has to do with gossip sometimes gets translated as slander or a slanderer. It's sometimes true, sometimes not, but it's meant to tear the person down. It's meant to be hurtful. On the other hand, if you want to talk behind my back, I give you full permission to compliment me all you want. You can talk behind, you can compliment people all you want. Gossip is when you talk behind their back and it's negative. It's tearing them down, okay? Now, it also says it's talking about somebody who is not there. The other biblical word that gets translated in the context of gossip is sometimes translated whisper or whisperer. One who whispers behind the back of another person. You're talking, you want a shorthand? If that definition's too long for you, let me give you a shorthand definition. It's talking about someone, not to someone. You should be talking to them. Instead, you're talking about them. They're not there. But you aren't talking to somebody, but in this case, you're not talking to somebody that is part of the process of reconciliation. One of the questions we need to ask with gossip is this: is it helpful or is it hurtful? Okay? Now, sometimes we need to talk about negative stuff. We need to have hard, critical conversations. There is a helpful way to do that. It's called confrontation. Instead of talking about them, you talk to them. Talks about this in Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So you're supposed to talk to, not talk about. And when you have that conversation, of course, your goal is not to be right. Your goal is to be reconciled, to be restored, to see redemption happen. That's the goal right there. Granted, when you confront, it doesn't always go well, right? Well, okay. The Bible's wise to that. And so sometimes you need to have negative conversation as part of a process of reconciliation. In order for that to happen, you must be talking to recognized authorities. So, for example, when there is a crime and you call the police, that's not gossip. Right? You can call the cops. They're recognized authorities. You need to talk to them about it. Matthew 18 that I quote already says, hey, when you go to them, sometimes it doesn't go well. And it's in the context of a church. And so there's a recognized church process of church discipline to deal with that. But you're talking to recognized authorities with the hope of reconciliation. And all along the way, your goal is to make it as private as possible. Gossip always tries to make it as public as possible. You see that? The goal is reconciliation. The gossip never helps that. And one of the questions is this: are you part of the problem or part of the solution? See, if you're not a part of the solution to heal this thing, then you are part of the problem. You're gossiping. And an irony is this, that you're gossiping about somebody's sin, but maybe it was true, maybe it's not. We're not really sure. But as soon as you gossip, we're sure of one person's sin. Yours. You're on the hook. Gossip's never helpful. It only tears down. It only destroys. And so then one last thing I put at the end there, the kicker there, that when you listen to gossip, you're gossiping. You're in error right there. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. Okay? So if somebody is gossiping with wicked lips and you're listening, you are doing evil. You're an evildoer. It's on you too. Or Proverbs 20, verse 19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler. You're not supposed to listen. See, it's sin on both sides of the equation, both gossiping and listening to gossip. Because what we permit, we promote. We're culpable. All right, so that I make sure that you catch what I'm serving up to you, let me give you some synonyms for our definition of gossip. The first one is sharing. We do this all the time, right? Hey, can I just tell you something that happened in my day today? I ran into so-and-so, and do you know what he did? He did this, and he did that, and he did that. Hey, I'm just sharing from my day. I'm just sharing from my life. No, you're not. You're gossiping. Or we package it under seeking advice. Okay, so-and-so did this and that, and what do you think I should do? I'm just seeking advice. Or we're venting. I mean, I just need to vent. Yeah, you're venting. You're venting gossip. Right? You're venting something. It's gossip. And, of course, then there's the last one there. Prayer requests. There's more gossip passed around in a church under the umbrella of praying for someone than I care to talk about. Come together, a community group. Hey, before we start, you know what? We really need to pray for so-and-so because you know what she did? It's just gossip. It's gossip. All right, that was uncomfortable. So now you have a clear definition of what gossip is. So let's talk about this. Why do we love it so much? Why are we so addicted to gossip? Because we do. There's a phenomenon I've noticed recently. When I go to a coffee shop, I'm more and more often finding somebody sitting alone in the coffee shop. They get out their cell phone, and they have a very loud conversation. Have you noticed this lately? It's on the rise. What I'm starting to know is now they set this, they put it on speakerphone. It's equally loud. I'm like, this is just weird. I write my sermons in coffee shops. If you find a place in the sermon that does not make sense, guess what was happening at that moment? That explains it right there. When I hear these conversations, and I do hear them because I have no choice, they're almost always gossip. We are a people that almost all of our conversations, if we're not getting, it's gossip over and over and over again. Do you know why? The Bible's clear about it. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Man, they taste good. They are sweet. They are delicious. And one of the things that really captures this well is a clip from the TV show, The Office, 2 weeks in a row. Yes! Yes, in fact, we were thinking about having a clip from The Office for every week of The Respectable Sins. No promises, we'll see what happens. But anyway, so in this one, the episode is called Gossip, and you'll catch it. Watch this.
So, what is a scuttlebutt? Anybody hear anything? Nothing? I got a little something-something. I don't know if I should say.
So just keep it to yourself, then.
Stanley is having a midlife crisis.
Stanley is having an affair.
What?
I am very happy right now. Thrilled, perhaps, to be a part of the office, to be a part of the conversation. When you have somebody's attention and their eyes are lighting up because they are very interested in what you have to say, that is a great feeling, and I experienced that firsthand today. It is wonderful to be the center of attention. How do you untell something? You can't. You can't put words back in your mouth.
Did you hear Pam was pregnant?
Yeah.
She's gonna hate being a mom.
How far along is Pam?
A few months, that's why they're rushing the wedding.
Guys. I can't believe everything here.
I am so happy you're eating again.
What, Bill?
Why don't you tell Stanley that I have asthma? Because I don't. If it gets out, they won't let me scuba.
What? You think I'm the voice of the Taco Bell dog?
Hey, has everyone heard a crazy rumor about themselves today?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? Let's discredit these rumors.
I need to do mine first. Who's been saying that there's another person inside of me, working me with controls?
I heard that from Andy.
I heard it from Aaron.
I heard it from Michael. Michael.
It's a great episode. I'll tell you, I should have cut the clip earlier, but I had to include the part with Kevin. I just absolutely love that. And you can tell the people that watch The Office because they laugh first because you get the characters and all that. Great, great stuff. The great part about this clip, though, is where Michael reveals early on kind of why he loves gossip so much. It was like he was speaking on our behalf because that's true of us, but we wouldn't say it. We do. We love it. In fact, here's some reasons that some he touched on. I want to tease these out. We love to be in the know. See, those are delicious morsels, right? And we want to be in the loop. We want to be in the knowledge of what's going on there, but also to be the dispenser of those things where people have to come to us and we get to drop those more. Oh, we love that. To be in the know, oh, it's so satisfying. We also like to fit in. Look, there's an in-crowd now. Like, when you're gossiping about somebody, they're out, and guess who's in? Me and whoever I'm talking about gossiping with at the time. We love to fit in. Feels so good. And then there's just entertainment. Those things taste sweet, and they're satisfying. It's just fun to do. So sometimes we do it just for entertainment. And then there's the last one that Michael Scott didn't hit on, but I'll throw it in there, pride and shame. And here's how that works. Look, pride is usually a poser. It's bluster because actually we feel like crap about ourselves. We feel like shame. But we don't want to admit that, and we don't want to have that. So what we do is we bluster with pride. And gossip totally works in our favor here because when I talk about the crap in somebody else's life, boy, all of a sudden I feel better about me. The implication is as I talk about them, I obviously don't do that. They're bad. I'm good. Pride and shame are very satisfied with gossip. If there's true humility, if our identity is secure in Christ, guess whose crap I would talk about? talk about my own. But because of pride and shame, I talk about somebody else. So there you go. We love it. They are delicious morsels. They are sweet. They are satisfying. They go down in and it feels so good. We love gossip. The problem is that God hates it. We've talked about what it is. We've talked about why we love it. Now we want to talk about the fact that we might call it respectable, but it's actually sin. Look with me, if you will, at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Says, you shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am Yahweh. I am the Lord. I think he made it pretty clear. We're not supposed to do that. To do it then is sin. But is it a bad sin? Well, actually, God hates it. In Proverbs chapter 6, God listed out seven sins he particularly despises. Look at these verses. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. And then it lists some of them, and at the end of the list it says, a false witness who breathes out lies, and number seven, one who sows discord among brothers. It's gossip, sowing discord among brothers. We might call it respectable. God says he hates it. Now, why get so bunged up, God? What's the big deal? The reason why is that God is a speaking God. Do you understand that? God is a speaking God. He spoke and the universe was created. He spoke and he created life. He had his Bible written down, the scriptures, and we call it what? The Word of God. He's a speaking God. Jesus comes on the scene in John chapter 1. Jesus is called the Word. God is a speaking God. Speaking matters to God. Okay, so think of this. As you imagine Jesus, him and his 12 disciples walking around, right? Can you imagine Jesus gossiping? Like, is that in your mental image? Like, does Jesus pull John aside and say, John, did you hear how Peter spoke to his wife? Can you imagine Jesus doing that? Hey, John, look at Andrew's sandals. Look at those. Where did he get those? Oh, my goodness. And what about Philip? Have you seen him eat fish? Hello, seafood? Like, his mouth's wide open, right? Is that how you picture Jesus? It's not, is it? No way. Why? Because Jesus, being the speaking God, speaks life. And words are a matter of life and death. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Bullcrap. That is not true. In fact, the scriptures say this in Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. You see, your words, each one of them carries either life or death. Every conversation is doing one or the other. And God shared the gift of speech with us, his creatures, not so that we could spread death, but so that we could export life with our words. It's very, very serious. To catch how God might feel about it, for you parents, has gossip about one of your kids ever gotten back to you? My kids are pastor's kids. Yeah, I've been there. All right. So that happens. And how, as a parent, how do you feel in that moment? Your blood boils, your shackles go up. In that moment, you have a thimbleful of how God feels when people gossip about his children. Because that's the only people we can gossip about. His blood boils. And so he warns us, Jesus does, in Matthew chapter 12, he says this in verse 36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This is very serious stuff. But it's not just about condemnation. This is a loving God who wants to give us life and bless us and hook us up. He wants the best for us. So he's warning us away from gossip that destroys. Because gossip does destroy. There's bad stuff that it does. One of the problems with gossip is that there's no dialogue with the person who obviously is in the wrong or supposedly is in the wrong, right? Look, a lot of times what we think was wrong, sometimes there's misperceptions, misunderstandings. You talk to the person, it gets cleared up, we're good. But when you gossip, guess who's not there to clear it up? And when there's fights and conflict, we find that usually there's two sides to every story and everybody's a little bit wrong, right? When you gossip, you only get to hear one side of the story. You see the problem? It's the weakness of gossip. Another problem with gossip is this. Look, God wants us to have noble, honorable, courageous character. God wants us as Christians to defend the defenseless. Doesn't that sound awesome? Do you want to be one who defends the defenseless? I do. When you gossip, you realize the defenseless person is the one you're gossiping about, right? That person's not there to defend themselves. Good. Defend the defenseless. Don't gossip. There's so many warnings about other bad stuff it does. I don't have time to go into all of them, but Proverbs says it stirs up quarrels. It separates friends. Oh, also it destroys reputations. Oh, not the person that's being gossiped about. I mean the person who's doing the gossiping. Here's how that works. If they gossip to you, they will also gossip about you. You bet your butt they will. Don't you think there's a firewall there? That's naive. If they gossip to you, they'll gossip about you. They're a gossip. So gossiping destroys your reputation. I'll give you one last reason that God hates gossip. It's because God loves his churches. He loves his churches. And gossip is a destroyer of churches. Now, not in the train wreck kind of way that gets the headlines like an affair. Yeah, that does it. I get that. But this is like a disease, eaten from the inside kind of way. Gossip, probably more than any other sin, hamstrings churches, renders them impotent, fettered, ineffective, crippled, destroyer of churches. Let me ask you, what kind of church do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be a part of a church that's full of gossip or a church that is just totally avoids gossip? It's an easy choice for me. I think in this moment, probably for you too. We know what kind of church we want. Well, then let's go build it one conversation at a time. You can tear a church apart with this stuff. And God loves his churches. God loves us. God wants the best for us, so he hates gossip. Hates it. So if that's the definition, and that's why we love it, and that's why God hates it, then what should we do? Well, I want to give you a series of questions to ask yourself before you open your mouth. Notice the order there. Before you open your mouth, here's a question to ask. Am I speaking to or speaking about? Okay, now, you can speak to. Yes, you can confront, but the problem is we lack courage and we lack love, to be honest. And so we don't confront, and therefore we speak about them when we should be speaking to them. And don't excuse it with the synonyms of sharing and seeking advice and venting and prayer requests. Don't do that. If needed for reconciliation, go to appropriate authorities that can help in that moment. Okay? So speaking about help, that's the next question. Is it helpful? Is this going to be helpful? Is this going to bring light and life and love and blessing and healing? Or will this just bring death and destruction? Is it helpful? How about the next question? Since God is listening, let me pause there. When you have a conversation, say there's two people, somebody speaking, somebody listening, there are always three people. Every time you speak, there's a speaker, a listener, and God is there listening too. Always, always. So, back to the question. Since God is listening, is he cool with this? How am I going to feel at the end of time when I stand before God and give an account for this very conversation? Is God cool with this? Because he's listening. Next question. Am I praying about this? This is glorious. Look, when you've got that tasty morsel and it's just burning to get out of you, right? You've got to tell someone. I get that feeling. I know that feeling. You just can't wait to tell somebody. Go pray. Go tell God. Then you get to vent. You get to tell somebody about it, but look, you didn't make it any more public because God already knew. Perfect. So you get to vent, but here's something else that probably happens in that same moment. God realigns your heart. You start praying about that person. You end up praying for that person. You end up loving that person. And in the process, your heart has been realigned. That's a great thing. Because the next question is, how's my heart? How's my heart? Why this question? Because look, folks, gossip is not a mouth problem. Gossip is a heart problem. If I'm in my heart, I am embracing my identity in Jesus Christ. I'm loving God with all my heart. I'm loving others. I'm living a life of humility and grace. Gossip kind of goes away, doesn't it? In fact, Jesus tells us this in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. He says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of his mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Okay? It's like a full glass of water just getting jostled. Whatever's in there just sloshes out. So whatever's in your heart, it tends to slosh out your mouth. But it's not an issue of the mouth. It's an issue of the heart. And so what I don't want us to do is just get good at suppressing it and faking it. You've got a bad heart, but don't gossip. Stuff it. No, let's let Jesus change our heart so we have hearts of love and grace and mercy. And boy, that's who we want to be. How's your heart? How's your heart? We should have a heart to bring life, and so that is the next question. How can I bring life? Maybe you remember from science class that nature abhors a vacuum, right? There's a vacuum, something gets sucked in, something fills it, right? And so sometimes what we try to do is don't gossip, don't do it, and so we're trying to shove it out. Now we got a vacuum, and what happens is stuff gets sucked back in, usually gossip. What if you fill the vacuum? Not with death words, but with life words. What if we fill it with affirming people and encouraging people and blessing them and speaking life to them? You think of our reputation as a church. I would love for Redemption Chapel to be known in the area. Even if they hate our God, they might say, but you know what? They never gossip. But you know what? They speak life. It's so encouraging. They're so affirming. Let's do that. Let's be that church. And then, of course, the last question. Am I listening to gossip? Don't. Just don't. You say, well, how do I pull that off? Somebody comes to me, they're talking, what am I supposed to do? Well, number one, you can confront them. Remember, you're going to speak to, not about. And so you can, hey, you're gossiping. But you can go with a more subtle approach. You can say, hey, you know what? So-and-so's not here, so I don't want to talk about him. Let's talk about something else. Just change the subject. You can do that. Or I'll give you a third option. What I would suggest is that every Christian carries with him or her a very mini air horn. I just love this idea, right? Go get one. I think they sell them at Target. So, and then you just pull, and anyone got, just right in their face, every time, right? So you're sitting in here, you hear that out there, oh, somebody's gossiping, right? We just know. Deacons will pass them out on the way. No, that's not true. All right. There you go. That's what I want us to do. But for that, I want to pray. Bow your heads with me. Father in heaven, as we talk about these respectable sins, I do want to pause in prayer before you, and I want to ask that you not allow us to slip into sin management, that we wouldn't view ourselves as good people that just need help and improvement. Certainly, Lord God, we want to experience life. We want to impart life. We want to honor you. We want to worship you. We want to glorify you, and we want to be more like you. That's all true. Father, yes, sanctify us. But ultimately, Lord, we've got to admit, we fall short. Way, way, way short. So I pray that as we look at these respectable sins, your gospel would be right in the center of it. That it would not be about getting to be better people and more self-righteous and trying to convince you that we're really good people, Lord. But rather that we would be humble. We would realize what a stinking mess we are. Lord, thanks. Thanks for Jesus. We need him. We desperately need him to cover all our sins, even the ones that we think are small and respectable. Thank you that his blood covers those. And now, Father God, as we are your children, please make us more like you. We pray.